Homes are getting updates in these times. The DIY home improvement market is still booming in the pandemic. We've had a series of conversations over the past 10 weeks about home reno, and now it's time to hear what you want to fix next. It's a caller-only hour on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're recalling some of the recent conversations about home improvement and gathering your ideas for future programs. So what do you want help with in your life? What project advice could help you save time and money? We want to hear about what shows you want us to put together in the coming weeks and months. What's on your mind? What do you want to learn more about from our Ask a Contractor series? What are your burning questions for trade professionals? And what DIY advice could you use at the moment? Join in on this caller-only hour. It's 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email show ideas to ideas at WPR.org. So the first show on this series out of the gate was with Laura Sutherland, who is administrator for the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection over at the State Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection. Before hiring a contractor, Sutherland recommended looking up professionals on state licensing pages and the Better Business Bureau.
There's a lot of information on the internet about home contractors in your community. So, you know, first of all, do your homework. Talk to your friends and neighbors. Talk to your family members. Use things like Emily's List. Do your homework. And then when you've sort of settled on a home contractor that you think is a right fit for you, do what I suggested, which is check and see if there's any outstanding complaints against them with the BBB or DADCAP. And make sure that they don't look better than they actually are by checking there first.
And just to clarify, that resource is Angie, not Emily's List. We have a link to Angie, formerly called Emily's List, on our program. You can also find more resources from our Ask a Contractor series at WPR.org/contractor. You know, I have loved this home reno series. And when I can't take on a big home reno project due to the cost or the time, the contractor availability, maybe other competing priorities or the kids' stuff, you know, here's what I do in the meantime. I put together some tips. I sort and I organize. I clean up the area that will eventually be part of a bigger job, a bigger project. I try to go through cabinets and drawers, make sure things are not so junked up. I really streamline the area. And ultimately, that alone will help an area look better. You know, we're thinking about doing some work in the garage, but we got to clean out that garage and see what we're dealing with. You know, I'm always keeping, you know, keen on adding artwork to walls, like my kids' artwork, and thinking of what can I put on the walls? Maybe plants, you know, really add a lot to an area. I watch the clearance center at nurseries because you can really get great deals end of season on plants for your landscape and indoor plants as well. So I find plants do wonders to a space. What do you want to hear from our next Ask a Contractor series? How could expert advice help you with your home improvement projects? Join in at 800-642-1234. This is a caller-only hour. We want to hear from you. And of course, we've done the home reno paint project last week. Painting can help a lot. You know, I keep it really economical by making sure I reuse my supplies, keep them in good working condition, because look, brushes are terribly expensive. So I wash my brushes and my paint trays immediately after using them, air drying those brushes. I do my best to reuse rollers. So usually the cost is just the paint itself. Do you have pro tips or tips you've learned on our series? Join in at 800-642-1234. You know, on to plumbing. Ashley Anderson is plumbing service coordinator at H.J. Pertzborn Plumbing and Fire Protection. We talked about the uptick in work since the start of the pandemic.
It's been crazy busy through the pandemic. Everybody's home. All their children are home, working from home. So it's been a lot of water heaters replacements, a lot of toilet replacements. I mean, tons. And I've been doing this a long time, and I've sold more toilets this past year than I think I've ever had in my life. So Yes, water heaters, you don't realize how much hot water you're pushing until everybody's home all day long.
Oh, isn't that the case? You know, our conversation, it examined tips for upgrading leaky toilets and drains, water heaters. And here's Anderson responding to a caller having problems with sewer gas leaks despite water being in the toilet.
That's hard to say, because if you're getting sewer gas spill, my guess is maybe he's not using a thick enough wax ring, and maybe he needs to double up or use what they call like a jumbo wax ring. It definitely sounds like if you've got water in the bowl, there's water in the trap, and there shouldn't be any sewer gas escaping back up. I would suggest resetting it with a thicker or double wax ring.
Okay, great advice there. We also heard from Missy Reinholtz, president of the Wisconsin Landscape Contractors Association, as we went outside. She's also president of CreateScape Landscaping Service in Maguanago, and we discussed which projects might be better to hire a professional for.
Well, I think the easiest example would be either patios or retaining walls, because if they're not executed properly, they will fail more quickly. You need to do the proper base and prep work for that type of project. And most people will watch a video on YouTube and think they understand it, but not understand where that video might have been produced and that that project might have been done in a different region, or don't understand that that project might not look very good a year after it was completed because it wasn't done to the standards that our industry builds things to.
Yeah, doing the homework carefully, such a great conversation. Let's go to John in Boaz, who has an idea. Hi, John. What's on your mind for a show?
I love your show. Well, I have done a lot of rebuilding of houses, including kitchen cabinets and stairways and that. But I think it all begins with a good, strong workbench.
Ah.
You can open up your paint. You can put your paintbrushes in it. And you can pound nails on it. Well, you don't have to worry about spilling paint on a workbench.
All
it would take is one sheet of plywood and one board.
Because those workbenches can also get very pricey. I was looking at getting a workbench for a Father's Day gift, and then I started pricing them out. They can get expensive, John.
Well, all it would take was one board, which is $75, and one sheet of plywood, which is $35. And, of course, some nails, or if you want to screw it together.
And how do you go about organizing your workbench? What are some organizational approaches that you have?
Oh, there's one drawer on your left for your left hand. There's one drawer on your right for your right hand. But there's a sheet of plywood on the top, which is about 18 inches high.
Do you hang your tools on the wall?
Oh, I do, yes.
Do you have pegboard? How do you go about doing that?
Oh, I just put a 2x4 up horizontally, left to right about 5 foot, and put a bunch of spikes in it.
All right, so you are really hands-on with your workbench, and, you know, I would imagine you go to your workbench every day.
Oh, yes, I'm sitting there right now.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. You know, boy, garage organization and, you know, those workbenches, such a great conversation example. Thank you, John. We've opened up the lines this hour to find out where you want to take the morning show next, which, you know, with conversations that could save you time and money. Let's talk about the home improvement programs you want to hear in coming months and other practical advice topics that have been on your mind. Join in at 800-642-1234. Which part of your space needs fixing or upgrades? What kind of expert advice would be useful now in your life? What questions do you want us to explore? Be part of this caller only hour, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. So remember when lumber prices soared last spring? Along with it, renovation costs spiked and construction projects, big and small, they were all hung up. So the lumber market has settled back down since then, but we're still talking about home improvement projects and exploring what you're working on. This hour is dedicated to the tips and advice segments that you want to discuss in the future on the morning show. It is a caller-only hour. There's a line for you. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You know, our contractor series has explored all sorts of DIY projects so far. We've done electrical, we've done plumbing, painting, insulation. What do you think of the series? What home rental projects are you working on? What DIY advice could help you out? And what advice show beyond the toolbox could be really useful in your life? Join in on this caller-only hour, taking your suggestions at 800-642-1234. You can email your show ideas and topics you want to know more about to ideas@wpr.org. When we were talking with Missy Reinholtz, that landscaping expert, president of the Wisconsin Landscape Contractors Association, we were talking about all those receipts. And for landscaping maintenance and replacements, you know, we talked about whether to keep receipts for plants when you buy them.
If you are purchasing plants from a garden center, certainly saving the receipts is very important. We provide the warranty to our clientele, so oftentimes they're not getting the receipt from a garden center. Their warranty is through us, so they don't have to save the plant receipts themselves. We're providing the warranty on our end.
Yeah, so good advice there. You know, we throw all of our renovation type receipts into one big accordion folder, keep them there, know they're there. They're not exactly all organized, but they're all in one place and we can find them. But that's really good too. If you need to go back to your receipt or show proof that you bought something, you have it in one place. You know, I enjoy being a list maker, and I want to unite with list makers because I keep a little notebook in a drawer in my desk at home, which contains this random list of all the things I want to do on my 1960s house, like big projects, little tiny projects, everything in between. But I just let it go. I let this list just go. I cross off things, I add things, I reprint the list by hand, rewrite it by hand. You know, it feels really good. I wonder, are you a list maker, or is there an organization tip that you've had as you go about your renovation projects, or things that you can share about how you got projects done? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email your show ideas to ideas@wpr.org. We talked with Bill Scott and Andrew Kessinger. They co-own a roofing and solar company called Excellent. It's built, Excellent Built. It's based in Minnesota. And one of our callers, they asked whether it's okay to use a rake for taking excess snow off roofs. And here's Kessinger on that.
I do not recommend using a rake on your roof. You have asphalt that is adhered to the shingle, and actually, you'd be scraping some of those granules off, and you will be exposing the rubber and the fibers inside that shingle, and those will start to break down in the summer or with sunlight and weathering. So I highly advise not to be using a rake on your roof. Minor scratches and stuff on your shingles can over time prevent or cause more damage than you would think.
Also, getting up on the roof makes my heart go pitter-pat. I always get so nervous when when my spouse is up on the roof. I'm like down there saying, oh, please. Because roofing accidents, that they're just so bad and you don't want anything to happen. Great advice there from Excellent Built, based in Minnesota, as we explore your ideas on what tips you have in our Ask a Contractor series, what shows you would like us to do in the future. We're revisiting bits and pieces of our programs, and we want to know, what should the morning show cover this fall? And this is a caller-only hour. There's a line for you as we gather all your home improvement show ideas and the topics you think could use more time and more discussion. What topics or issues are important to you? What show grabbed your attention? What issues do you want to discuss with your neighbors and your community? So join in, be part of this caller-only hour, things that could help you in your life. And by the way, we are also airing Life Kit, which begins airing on the Ideas Network this Saturday, October 2nd. Life Kit from NPR. Such great, great experts and advice on all the things we need in order to go about this life that we're in. So great advice show, Life Kit, coming up starting this Saturday. You can join in with your show ideas at 800-642-1234. Well, here's another tip for me. I wash my windows inside and out. I love washing my windows. They always brighten a room. And so I really take a moment when I'm cleaning on a Saturday to just focus on one room, wash those windows inside and out. Do you have any tips, though, on washing windows? What do you use? Or maybe you want an advice show on cleaning tips. Join in on what programs or advice shows you want to hear. 800-642-1234. You know, I also take apart my light fixtures and I wash the inside. I, you know, spill those dead bugs out into the garbage and then I put the light fixture back. It just makes me feel better. What are little things or tricks you do around the house? What show advice can you offer us as we go about finding these experts? Maybe you have an expert down the street that you'd love us to talk with. Join in with your show ideas at 800-642-1234. You know, we talked about insulation with Kevin Wise, president of Illinois Insulators, and that company offers insulation services for commercial and residential properties throughout the Chicagoland area. And after a caller brought up their struggles to heat up a home without proper insulation, Kevin Wise talked about helping out one of his clients.
A lady in her mid-80s had a house, a bungalow in Chicago, over in Cicero, and she'd been there. She owned the house for 60 years. And when it was sub-zero temperature, the furnace didn't shut off for 3 days straight. And the most she could get it up to, I believe, was 64, 65, and she'd have electric heaters running. So, yeah, insulation is very, very important. Since then, we've insulated her attic and her outside walls, and she's referred us to multiple different neighbors. But insulation is a huge deal to keeping your home comfortable.
That was Kevin Wise helping us understand insulation, how to use it, and how to put it in economically. Let's go to Lee now in Knife River, Minnesota. Lee, hi. What's on your mind for a show?
Oh, good morning. I would love some information on what to expect in working with a designer or an architect in planning for a remodel. Our contractor has asked us to do that, and I'm just kind of at a loss. So I'll just suggest that as a future show and hope to learn from you.
Yeah, you know, Lee, I've always wondered, you know, is that first consultation with an architect, how much might that cost and what happens when they start drawing up plans? But, you know, sometimes you've heard that when you go to a lawyer, that first consultation is free. I don't even know, is it the same for an architect? Do you know?
Well, I've done some searching online. Some offer a free consultation, and it's just kind of quite confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Do they charge by the project, by the square foot? There's just a lot of questions remaining. So I'm just curious to know if it's what percent of the total project cost it might be, and just what to expect so I'm prepared and I'm not wasting anybody's time.
Oh, we appreciate that, Lee. We will put that on our list. Ask an architect, you know, how do you go about hiring the architect or the designer? Thank you for that. Dana joining us from Green Bay. Dana, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, or is it Dana? I'm not sure.
Dana is fine.
Dana, okay, go ahead.
My comment was about the commercial cleaning industry and how they have played such an amazing part during the pandemic. I happened to work with a company where I got to see, you know, really all the work that they do and how they make a huge difference and impact on our daily lives, even when it came to the flu season, you know, and the stuff that they take care of so we don't have so much cross-contamination between employees. And you know, something that there's some companies out there that might not be doing so great, but there are really some definitely good ones, and I got to see that. So I thought that maybe that could be included.
And commercial cleaning, you mean in homes or in businesses or both?
Janitorial services.
Janitorial.
Or, you know, large companies that employ 300, 600 employees have three shifts, and these people are really the ones to take care of your health at work.
Mm-hmm. And we could certainly get some advice for them in, you know, finding out how to clean and the types of services that they do. So thank you, Dana, for that show suggestion as we have this caller-only hour, spending the hour listening back to some of our Ask a Contractor conversations, but mostly gathering your ideas for future programs this fall and beyond. What do you think should be getting more attention in home reno projects? What do you want people to know? What expert could we tap into who has great advice for a challenge you've been up against? Drop their name, whether it's home repairs or day-to-day life challenges. Bring all your show ideas, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. DIY home improvement and renovation projects have been extremely popular, with 4 out of 5 homeowners doing at least one project since the start of the pandemic. And that is from a recent survey by Angie, the Home Improvement Services website. This hour of the morning show is caller only. It's dedicated to your show ideas. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What are your ideas for future Ask a Contractor programs and home improvement segments? Do you have a life hack that would make a great discussion? Which shows have you enjoyed most? Which guests should we definitely have back and why? Which new guests should we track down because you know they can offer great advice? Join in with your show ideas, your guest ideas. The number is 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jerry in Bayfield is here this morning. Hi, Jerry. What can you offer us?
Hi, I have a show idea. Bidding projects. If you have a major project, of course, we all should go out for bids. And when the bids come back, it's really hard to compare them because they are not apples to apples. So, you know, the suggestion, of course, is start with a good spec that everybody's going to bid on the same thing if you can. Then you talked about list. That thought made me think of two ideas. One is have several projects going at the same time, mm-hmm. so that when you run out of some supply, you don't have to run to the hardware store every time. And that's, you know, that's really a problem when you're working on something, going to the hardware store again.
Yeah, it's kind of reading multiple books at once. When something isn't going well in one book, you can turn to another one.
Exactly right. You know? The other thing that helps me with that, too, is like you mentioned, keeping lists. Well, there's an app for that. There's many apps on your smartphone, but you know, Google that and list for the app. There's one I use called My List, and it's fabulous because I've got that phone in my pocket anywhere I am.
Sure.
And I run out of bread, or I run out of screws or something out in the garage. I pull my phone out and put it on the list.
Yeah, it's called My List, you said?
I think it's My List.
Or something like that.
And
yeah.
The beauty of that one, and I Googled it, of course, what's the best app for lists? And that's the one that I came up with. But it allows me to put in like 3 different lists. One is my grocery list. One is my non-food items. That's the hardware store list. Another list is kids. When my kids come to see me, I got jobs for them.
Oh, wow. You are organized.
Really, yeah, I really am. And I get a lot done, but I always have multiple projects going and I enjoy that.
You might have to start putting bids into, you know, for what the jobs you have for those grandkids.
Well, no, then they're going to want to charge me.
Well, you know,
the bidding is really a big deal. If you're, you know, bidding a big project, it gets real complicated.
Yeah, and it's been really difficult in these times because just finding a contractor, let alone getting multiple bids, has been really rough for homeowners.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, it's good to talk with you. Thank you for those show ideas. Appreciate it. Happy list making.
Yeah.
from one list maker to another, although I'm a little bit more traditional, old school. I'll look into those apps. We can explore it here. Let's go to Mandy now in Mount Horeb. Mandy, hi.
Good morning. My interest, I guess, is a bit more of a general house cleaning kind of idea. But I would be interested in learning more or learning about non-toxic cleaning the home and learning about environmentally sustainable strategies, products, methods for cleaning different surfaces in the house to get away from a lot of the commercial, really harsh chemicals
mm-hmm.
that go into the water supply or fumes and stuff like that. So I would really be interested in learning about different alternatives and non-toxic house cleaning.
Yeah, and maybe that expert could provide recipes for us so we can make those cleaning products. You know, I really grapple with that too, using the harsher products versus something I can make on my own with some vinegar at home. You know, Mandy, how do you deal? I have such hard water and I deal with spots on my glass and on my shower doors. And I've really grappled with whether I go the vinegar route or I use the harsh cleaner. Do you have any suggestions?
You know, I love vinegar and I use it for so many things. And I found it's really effective against hard water. And if you use it regularly, like on a shower door, it won't build up as much.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think you have to think about, you know, for like a shower door, what products are you using that are building up as well? Not so much what do you use to clean it,
yeah.
but what kind of soap do you use? What kind of shampoo do you use? Because a lot of those have waxes and have other harsh things in them that build up as well. So if you can get to a more natural state with all the things you use, it even makes your cleaning a lot easier.
Can I ask you one more thing about the vinegar? Do you heat your vinegar? Do you warm it up on the stove before you apply it? When you're working
no.
on an area? No, you use it cold right out of the bottle.
I do, yes.
Okay.
I guess I've never heard of heating it up. I'm not sure what the rationale is for that.
Yeah, I've read somewhere that you can actually heat the vinegar and then apply it to your surface, and that might be able to break through some of the grime that is on there. So I was just curious if you've ever tried that. Are there any parts of the house that you really grapple with in terms of trying to use something that's heavy duty enough but still non-toxic?
Yeah, you know, my kitchen appliances, stainless steel is something I'm always looking for, what really cleans those well.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one area, you know, that I don't really use the vinegar on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know exactly what to use on that would be safe but also really effective. You know, vinegar is just so great, but I just don't know that it's a good thing to use on the... I guess I'd have to research it more. But that's what I guess an expert could, you know, try to help us.
Absolutely.
Go through and walk through the house and look at all the rooms and all the surfaces and, you know, kind of give some advice on what is safe and effective. And, you know, I really started to explore this when my kids were little, thinking
uh-huh.
about little kids crawling on the floors and hands on things and licking things, all that kind of stuff. And pets, too, you know. So just... getting a sense for what would be safe and effective would be really helpful.
Absolutely. What do you use on your floors?
Yeah, so I just use like the Dr. Bronner's natural soap.
Uh-huh.
And I just dilute it really well.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's the best idea, but I just don't really like a lot of the Murphy's oil soap is kind of harsh on
it is, yeah.
wood and mm-hmm. surfaces. Yeah, so I try to go away from that. You know, on my woodwork, like my cabinets, I'll use a combination of lemon juice and olive oil, like
okay.
1-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
And that's actually pretty effective. You just have to be careful because if you're doing woodwork like around a window and you get that on your window, then you have another mess to clean up because olive oil and windows don't.
They don't mix at all. You know, I also try to condition my wood floors and give them that shine, but sometimes it's those products that have all the chemicals that give them that shine. But, you know, I have these big scratches, and I know that my wood floors need refinishing, but I also find that when they're clean and they're shiny, they just have, you know, a beauty unto themselves, and even the wear and tear kind of just diminishes a little bit. Have you found that?
No, you know, I guess I kind of embrace the character of it.
Yeah.
So, no, I guess I don't really like a whole lot of shine just because I have kids and pets. And
yeah.
And I don't want to slip and fall and, you know, when my parents are over and stuff. So
I
try not to get it real super shiny because I just don't want for the slippery factor. And I guess I could try the lemon juice, olive oil type of trick, but the olive oil might be kind of slippery and
that would
it would take a lot of lemons to clean my house.
Oh, well, it's been good talking with you, Mandy. We will explore non-toxic environmental cleaners, see what we can find out, see what expert is out there. Maybe we could even get some recipes going. Yeah, I think that sounds great. Thank you so much for calling in.
Great.
This hour is dedicated to you and what you want to bring to the morning show. It's caller only. It's ideas rich. We're taking a step back and talking about the future of our Ask a Contractor series on home improvement. So what should the morning show cover next? What topics and issues matter the most to you? What information is most useful to your life? Share your show ideas right now at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. Calling all show ideas, you can go to ideas@WPR.org. Send them by email. You know, we talked about flooring with Tim and Kelly Nipper. They're from Floorology. And this is a company that's based in Rothschild near Wausau, provides flooring installation and design. And before talking about floors, Kelly Nipper wanted to air a warning about home improvement shows on television.
I would say proceed with caution if you're looking to them for realistic installation timelines, project costs, or installation methods that are used. And I can't, obviously, I haven't seen every show that's out there, but I've seen enough to know when it comes to flooring and tile that homeowners would do themselves a huge favor if they were to consult with qualified professionals, especially for complex projects, as opposed to gaining insight from these programs. So I've just seen that they're not always reliable or accurate or well-informed.
Oh, but these programs, they suck us in, don't they? I mean, that, you know, when you see them pulling back the carpeting, the raggedy carpeting, and exposing beautifully gorgeous wood floors, don't you just think that happens all the time? Or don't you want that to happen to you with your old home? Join in with your show ideas. You know, during part of our conversation, a caller brought up how to address asbestos in flooring. Here's Tim Nipper.
You definitely do not want to scrape any asbestos flooring adhesives. The best thing to do is to call an expert. There's asbestos guys out there that do the cleanup. You need special equipment, ventilators, to take care of the asbestos, because like you said, you don't want to be breathing that in. And that's pretty much the only time that asbestos in the flooring will harm you is when you scrape it and sand it and get it airborne.
Calling in an expert. We're calling, collecting future show ideas from you this hour and rewinding on some of this year's memorable Ask a Contractor conversations. Have you had driveway moments with the morning show when you couldn't stop listening? What home reno programs stand out? What discussions deserve more time and attention? Maybe it's non-toxic cleaners or architects, workbenches, maybe more on electrical. Still time to talk on this caller-only hour. Line for you, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute. Maybe hear from you and your suggestions here on the Ideas Network. We're back with more conversation about the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this hour we're revisiting some of our Ask a Contractor conversations from the year. I have relished these conversations, giving my two cents along the way as we fix up our 1960s home. So we want to know, what are your ideas for future home improvement segments or shows that could save people time and money? What do you think should be getting more attention on our program? Let's go to Brianne now in Mishicot. Hi, Brianne. What would you like to add?
Hi, Kate. Hi. I moved to a house last year that has the option to heat with propane or wood. And so I guess a show on HVAC stuff would be very interesting to me to know, you know, what's the benefits of heating with propane versus wood? You know, how do I get my ducts clean? When do I switch my fans over? How do I efficiently heat and cool my house throughout the year?
So as you go into this winter, what is your plan? What are you doing?
We're going to try a mix of heating with hardwood and with propane, sometimes with work and little kids. It's just not easy to keep a fire going in the basement and the wood stove all day and all night. Mm. So we're going to try a mix. We'll probably try to do 1 or 2 weeks on with wood and then see 1 or 2 weeks on with propane only. So
have you ever done this before, or have you used propane to heat before?
No. So we always lived in town and never had propane growing up as kids. And this is our second house and first one with propane and the option to heat with wood.
Wow. So this is really going to be a learning experience for you.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Well, that's a great show idea, HVAC, and just how you maneuver. And you know, even knowing how often you need to fill your propane tank. I mean, these are all the little things that you're going to have to think about on top of just the daily living things.
Oh, yeah. Yep. The propane company has a remote reader and monitor for the tank. So they installed that last fall.
Okay.
So they're able to kind of remotely check the levels. But before that, they came out on a regular basis every month or so to see how low the tank was getting, or we could call them.
I see. So now technology is kind of helping with that a little bit. What about wood? Do you know how well that will heat the house?
I have no idea, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I know we're getting some wood, some hardwood, but we have a lot of cedar on our property, and we know that doesn't last very long. So mm-hmm. I know different types of wood are better for heating the house, and some are way more sooty, like pine wood. We try to reserve for just burning outside if we're having a fire and marshmallows. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all going to be a big learning curve for us.
Do you chop your own wood?
We do a little bit, but it's really just to kind of clear out our woods and make paths and trails and get some of the down trees down. It's not really just to get wood to burn for the house.
Yeah. Well, Brianne, good luck. We will put this HVAC conversation on the burner, if you will, and get on that. And certainly good luck as the winter season approaches. And thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks.
We also talked with master window installer Carl Hartke, president of Windows of Wisconsin, that has a showroom in Kaukauna, and we talked about the different types of vinyl windows.
At first, they may all look the same. Double hung window slides up and down, tilts in, easy to clean. So what's the difference from one to the other? Well, in vinyl alone, there's different types of vinyl. There's recycled vinyl, there's virgin vinyl, and there's UPVC vinyl. UPVC stands for unplasticized polyvinyl chloride. That would be your better vinyl. And it's made out of a compounded material such that it resists damage from the sun better than the other vinyl materials. So that would be the go-to vinyl material. So that's one takeaway from the show, is that if you're going to get vinyl windows, get UPVC vinyl windows.
Oh, there were so many takeaways from the window show. And, you know, next week we have a show about winterizing homes Tuesday at this time. So make sure you check it out on winterizing, all the things that you can do to get your home ready for the winter. I love talking about windows because we had to do a lot of research before we got windows for our porch, 9 windows. You know, it's certainly a lot of money, but it's also a lot of research because there's so many different types of windows and the terminology and whether you match the windows to the rest of the home. So one thing that I have learned over these years in restoring our home is that slow down, go slow, do the research, don't just push it, because that's going to strain the budget. It's going to strain your time, and everyone's going to be more frazzled. So I try to just take everything, you know, not taking everything all at once and going slow with these projects. I really like the tip of taking doing multiple projects at once, but that too can also be a little bit nerve-wracking as you have one thing going on this side and one thing going over here in the garage, because I like to keep things a little bit tidy. So I'm not sure I really like the idea of doing multiple projects at once, but, you know, sometimes that that can work. We want to hear from you. What should we be talking about in our Ask a Contractor series? How could expert advice help with your home improvement projects? What questions do you have for trade professionals or things you've learned as you watch them on the job? Oh my goodness, I learned so much from the person who was putting in that tile backsplash. I couldn't have done it. Join in your show ideas front and center at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. You know, we heard from Matthew Roon, who's owner of Color Field Interior Painting and Design in Appleton, taking on interior and exterior projects. We talked about the correct way to paint a room.
Top down. So I always start with the ceiling first. And while the ceiling's drying, I'll do the bottom, like, trim, and then kind of, you know, do the walls. Once the ceiling is fully dry, I'll second coat it. I always go two coats. I recommend, you know, they make a lot of paints that say one coat, but it's never really one coat unless you're doing the same color, you know. So you always want to do two coats. And, you know, for, I mean, you know, different lighting can change how it looks. So, like, it might look great with one coat, but then the lighting changes and then you see, like, imperfections. So, you know, two coats are definitely the way to go, and top down.
Oh, yeah. I'm a two-coater as well. Although I bought some really high-end paint for a bathroom and I was able to coat it with just one coat and it looks great. So I didn't mess with that. I did some touch-ups, you know, around the edges and I was good to go. We're still looking for your tips on show ideas. There's still a couple minutes time here. You can join in on where the morning show should go next. Join in at 800-642-1234. I know I've had issues with wallpaper in my basement, wallpaper on top of paneling. How on earth have you ever gotten wallpaper off of paneling off? And you know what? I didn't. Kept it there, just kept it there and painted over it. And, you know, on all those little bulging areas of the wallpaper, I took that knife, cut into those areas, sanded those areas smooth. And so in our basement, there is paint over wallpaper and I don't think you can tell. I would love to hear more of your tips and tricks. This home improvement series has been such a pleasure. We heard from Jim in Luxembourg, called and wants to know more about carpet maintenance. Oh, yes, the carpet. The carpet and all the different choices of carpet that are out there. So many. So thank you for all your show ideas for the morning show all hour long. We will pursue them. And be sure to join us a week from today for the next installment of our Ask a Contractor series with colder temps around the corner. We're getting tips on winterizing your home. Don't miss out on any helpful advice from our home improvement series. Find past episodes at WPR.org/contractor. You'll also find a list of resources that we've put together over the weeks to help you on your next home improvement project. And don't forget, for practical home improvement advice, it's the Larry Mueller Show. Our friend Larry has experts on the second Thursday of the month at 11. That's the second Thursday of each month at 11 on the Ideas Network. If you can't catch it, the live show, catch Larry live. Listen online anytime at WPR.org/Larry. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.